Welcome to the first episode of Kinky Coffee Time,
an adult talk show dedicated to protect and restore the beauty and benefits of healthy BDSM dynamics.
Achievable through diverse perspectives from average people like you and us.
About not so average topics like
sex,
shibari,
belts, bondage,
aftercare,
paddles,
discipline,
subspace,
wax play, submission,
sub-drop.
You said you wanted to start with a joke.
I know. Yeah. I like that. And I'd like that, but I feel like the very first episode should be somewhat of an intro. And then I guess we can dive into why we chose the name Coffee and Kink. I also don't want to overextend a particular topic, but I guess a bit about us. Like, we are a polydynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't know if I can officially say that I can identify as a daddy dom, but
you've always struggled with that.
I've always struggled because I feel like as it relates to me, the whole self-entitlement has been an issue. Like,
but you don't have an issue if I were to say, or if Mittens were to say, like, oh, he's a dom.
Well, yeah, that's because it feels like I've earned that more than speaking about myself as a third person. I don't know. I just find it really weird to, like, yeah, I'm a daddy dom. I've always kind of wanted to deflect from that.
Okay, so then let me ask you a question. If you have an issue with titling yourself as a dom, how do you identify?
That is a good question. Maybe that could be a different topic.
Think about it. I mean, well, there's that, but also, like, if you flip the scenario around and, like, women or men identify as, like, little or, like, as pets, like, how
I'm not speaking for anyone else. I'm
No, yeah. Like, I get you're only speaking for yourself, but I guess, like, I'm just trying to say, like, I don't think that's entitlement. It's just, like, a form of expression.
I think maybe it's a part of identity at that point. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you're claiming that calling yourself a dom isn't part of your identity, then what is?
I'm just me. And if somebody recognizes dominant traits in me, then I can embrace those.
Okay, but how do you describe yourself to someone who doesn't know anything about you? Like, say
I feel like I have dominant traits, yes. I have daddy traits, like daddy dom traits.
This is so
I guess it's turning out to be the same. It really is. It really does boil down to being the same. I think the issue is with me, like, saying it out loud. I think that's the biggest issue.
I think, well, yeah, and I understand that. I respect it. Like, it makes sense, and it's a different perspective in comparison to, like, all of the other people that I've interacted with, or even just glimpsed at in person when we've gone to. Because we've gone to dungeons before, and we've gone to, like, those type of environments. And also people online, the minute you see their profile, they'll be like, oh, you know, 43-year-old dom experience, or, you know?
I don't have a problem with anybody else identifying it. Well, let me rephrase that. And I think it's going to fall into the topic that we're going to discuss today, which is kink shaming.
Yeah.
But, and it certainly may sound like it's a kink shame. It may be so, but it's not some, I feel like kink shaming is more calling out someone.
Or yeah, like if you're judging them based off of what they're into.
Right. But I'll give you an example.
Uh-huh.
Someone that identifies as an alpha dom. What does that even mean? See that, and I don't want to dive into this topic for the situation for alpha dom. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some alpha doms that are out there that can potentially give us
some better
insight as to why. And I would invite and encourage anyone who identifies as that to openly share.
Yeah, we're pretty open-minded about learning. We know that the community is something that is always evolving.
But it wasn't like that. We have to address the very first issue. We didn't start off by being as open-minded as we are now.
Because we didn't know how many other things there are out there. Like, okay, the alpha dom situation and even alpha subs, because I've heard that too. There's like alpha subs. I think, or my understanding is of it, may sound ignorant, I don't know. But my understanding of when using like alpha as part of the way you title yourself, I believe it's based off of when they're BDSM families.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Because they'll be like poly families, and then that scenario,
whoever's the leader.
Correct.
That makes more sense, yes. That's all right, but I feel like that's going to be just something, maybe we need to get some input on some alpha families.
Yeah, someone please educate us on this, because I don't know.
Yeah, I want to know. And I think, and I guess the point that I'm trying to make, and just going back to the very beginning of all this, is if we trace back to when we started, because when we started, we really did, and it's going to be hard for me to admit to this, but we fell into the category of kink shaming.
You're right. What happened was, it's like the environment that we were trying to create, because this was all online,
right?
This wasn't we're talking about in a time where kick rooms were still a thing.
Yeah, we had,
and they were at its peak, you correct. know. It was fun, but sometimes you would come across people that would like come into your rooms, or even sometimes you would go into rooms that you didn't know what was going on. And so
we try to create a filter.
Yeah.
And in the process of creating a filter, I feel that we did reject.
Yeah.
Like someone people without fit. giving them a true opportunity to understand.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was mostly people that would come in and start flashing dick pics and
wanted to hook up or get nudes.
Who in here looking for a daddy? Like that
but
type
you
of.
You know what? It worked to some extent, because when we would call those people out, there were some that'd be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know. Like, tell me what you guys are about." And so then we would dive into conversations to be like, well, if you really are interested in BDSM or the community, like, this is who we are. This is what we do. We have topics. Because that's what we did.
Yeah, it was fun.
We implemented having a topic every day that whoever was in the room needed to answer.
We were so invested in that. It was fun, too.
It was really fun.
And we made a lot of friends.
Yes. We did. We met a lot of interesting people along the way, too.
But we haven't addressed, at least speaking for myself, one of the things that I remember kink shaming the most was vanilla fellers.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was just difficult. I think in looking back, I'm thinking, okay, we are kink shaming people that don't know anything about the lifestyle or have misconstrued the lifestyle. And there's a lot to misconstrue.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, think about it like this. You have a conversation with someone that knows absolutely nothing about BDSM. Their very first assumption is abuse.
Yeah. Or like, oh, it's just a reason for a man to get away with hitting someone.
Yeah.
Literally, like, that's the first thing that I think it comes to mind for most.
And it does come from a level of misunderstanding or people unaware that submission, the submissive has control, has the authority to call out their safe words.
Yeah. And even some submissives, I feel, too, struggle, like, with that aspect. Because if an unexperienced submissive isn't aware of how much power they actually hold in the dynamic, it's easy to get, you know, gaslighted, manipulated about it, and end up getting hurt.
That's correct. And again, going back, I kind of want to focus on the aspects of kink shaming. And I think it also, I was having a conversation earlier with our crush, and in that conversation,
Twitter crush?
Yes. Yeah. And in that conversation, We sort of partially dove into the aspects of that kink shame really does and has the potential to start at home with the family.
At a young age. Yeah.
Inherently, traditionally. I even dare say, obviously, you know, when I say inherently and traditionally, I can actually say because of your belief systems.
Just the environment that you're raised in.
Yeah.
Overall. Plays a big...
It's harder for me to relate because I didn't grow up in that environment. My dad was very open-minded. Mm-hmm. And he was able to make and express, well, have conversations about sexuality without it being weird.
See, that's rare, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's different because we're women.
I also don't see it as just like a situation where it's just because you're a woman. It's just a different environment that plays a huge factor, because you could be a woman in a better environment, like in, say, his situation, and it could have been entirely different.
Yeah, my dad was very open about...
What would be a better environment?
Like, where you have parents that are more open, but that also have, like... It's like whatever environment you're in, basically, whether you're a man or a woman.
Look at the TikTok we just watched about the little kid that was raised by two gay parents.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so wonderful. Like, it was so he's cute. So innocent and cute and everything. And
he's like, I knew my, what is it, my pronouns, my LGBTQ before I knew my ABCs.
He was so cute.
And then you're gonna have the other side say, oh, that's toxic. It, you know, kids shouldn't be exposed
to
that.
He's gonna turn out gay. Literally have those ignorant, like, people who are gonna say those things and be like, oh, like, you're raising him to turn out exactly like you guys. It's like, what?
Yeah. Why? Or that they're gonna have a bad life.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then traditionally, if you're raised in a Christian household with, you know, certain, well, a religious household, I should say. I'll take that back.
Strict religious
household. Then there's no risk of you, you know, ever going the other way, right? I mean, if that's
theoretically.
Yeah, that's not the case. And again, you know, the kink shaming, it starts at home. It really does start at home. I grew up in an environment where my dad literally took me to the living room and showed me, you know, a section that said, these are my adult movies. You are not allowed to touch them.
And how old are you?
Maybe 7?
Damn.
But I respected that. I knew not to.
Yeah.
I knew, okay, like, if I love my dad and I respect him as a man, like, I'm not going to disrespect him by disobeying his direct orders.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Did you ever question him about it?
When I had questions, he had answers.
Uh-huh.
About everything.
Okay, yeah. But like if he told you, oh, these are adult movies, don't touch them, for you it wasn't like, why not?
No.
No? Okay. I'm only asking because... I can relate to what you're saying about how whenever I had questions as a kid, I had parents who would have answers for me. But I guess they always kind of encouraged me to ask questions. So had they told me a statement like that, I would have easily turned it around and be like, why not? You know?
I think it was just a matter of me respecting my dad's... If my dad said no, then he had a really good reason for saying no.
Yeah, that's true.
Forgive me, I am sipping water.
We're supposed to be drinking coffee.
I am drinking coffee and water.
It's kinky coffee time.
I am.
We're all drinking
coffee.
And we encourage people, and I, you know what, it's interesting that we have so many followers and from, you know, we get these direct DMs of people saying like, hey, you know,
how do I be part of the lifestyle? Remember we used to get those. We used to get people who'd be like, how do I get into DDLG? Or like, oh, like, I'm new to this. Like, how do I become a dom? And I'm like, what?
I think the bigger one, one of the big ones that I had is like, how do I speak to my partner about this? And then you know, and then I would dive into the conversation. Well, where does your partner stand? And most of the time, it was, if I open up my mouth about the things that I enjoy, it's gonna be a mess. And yeah. and then we dive into the aspects of kink shaming. For example, there are couples out there, mm-hmm. and it's gonna run through your mind. You're gonna start thinking, okay, now I know. Like you start pinging people that you already know.
Okay.
Couples that have been married for 10 years, 20 years, 5 years, whatnot.
Yeah.
Where, you know, either partner is curious to explore certain kinks, you know, toys or role plays or whatnot, and the other partner is like, hell no, and then you begin that cycle of kink shaming.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. You're going to do this. You know, this is not going to be healthy for us. You know, and I think I can say that it goes for both sexes, but I can truly say that there is a lot of close-minded men out there. A lot. And you know what? I'm Hispanic. We are so screwed.
Would you say that there's more close-minded men than there are insecure men?
No, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, because I was going to use the word insecure.
I've heard so many terms. Look, and it sounds horrible for me to even say this. For the purposes of our podcast, I think it needs to be said. Oh, don't use dildos because they're going to stretch you out. Don't use vibrators because it's going to desynthesize you.
Okay.
I'm dead serious.
Screwed, this is rude then.
And
I was going to say, it starts even before that. For women, I've heard that, like,
we can like, go way
wear
back.
Pads because it's like
tampons are going to make you lose your virginity.
Yes. That and it starts when you're like little.
You know, like yes. I remember that one. Growing up, I remember my mom telling me.
Yeah.
She would be like, no, we don't use tampons. You don't need to put anything up there. Like, it doesn't belong there. And for me, I was like, okay. So I never used them. But I just didn't understand why I couldn't. Why it was an issue for me to put something there that was going to help, you know, your monthly. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
It's so bizarre, like, just these ideas that they can't shake or change because somehow if they're wrong, it's an issue. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't even think that you have the... I think that a lot of, especially in Hispanic culture, we just choose not to even bring it up. Like, we...
Oh, no.
There is absolutely no point. I mean, I say we as it applies to everyone else. Because I talk to my mom openly. It's like, look, mom.
Yeah.
I'm in a polydynamic. These are my ladies. This is our current living situation. And my mom, you know my mom. My mom's just like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful woman.
You're one of the exceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping that little by little things will start changing. And I know... My parents have been more open-minded about my life and understanding. Even if there's things that, I guess, they don't know the details of, per se.
But they don't need to.
No, but I still feel like because I've opened up to them more about certain things, it's gotten me closer to them. Versus when I was a kid and they didn't want to talk about any of these things. And it just led me to ask more and more questions. And that's how I went on the internet to find answers, you know?
But look at the circumstances in which... There's have been people in my life that know me for who I am outside of my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they're perfectly fine with every aspect of as a person of who I am. The minute that they know that I am in a polydynamic. It's not even that I'm flaunting it because I'm not like that.
No, it just somehow will come up.
Yeah, like it they'll, yeah. You know.
And then all of a sudden, they'll be like, whoa, what?
What?
Yeah.
Remember I used to work out there in that firm and then they found out and then it just became a whole fiasco
It was like an issue where, not an issue, but it was a situation where you worked, you kept things professional, And then the boss said, hey, I'm having a party at my house. You can bring your, you know,
significant other, your plus one.
Yeah, and you weren't trying to flaunt or share, but like, oh, well, I have two. No, it was just like, well, what if I have an additional person?
It was a plus two.
Yeah. And so then it just became one of those things where everyone started talking about it and being like, hey, like, that good job, know, Roger. Oh,
yeah, it got really toxic because there were some men that I didn't really consider.
They were like, kudos.
How do you do it, bro? How do you do it, bro? And it just felt very disrespectful. Like, why are you going to disrespect, you know, me at that level? You don't know me like that, or you don't know them like that, and they automatically assume. You know, when people come at me and they you know, they know that I'm in a polydynamic, I'm not going to say people, mostly men.
Yeah.
Okay? When they come at me and they find out that I'm in a polydynamic, what, do you have money? Do you have a big dick?
Or it becomes an issue where, like, they think, because this has happened too, where they think the women are up for grabs.
That's true.
Oh,
it's happened to me.
Or that they're easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happened to me.
I could see that.
Where, like, we'll be together and, like, they know, like, somewhat of our life and the dynamic. And then the men will be like, oh, yeah, like, let me, you know. Like,
let me get at that.
Yeah. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm not property. Oh, my gosh. Like,
ugh. That's ignorance. That's complete ignorance. Because people automatically assume that we are the worst. That... Oh, you're in a polydynamic? Oh, what type of environment are you creating for your children? Oh, what type of environment are you creating for your family? Oh, you guys must be this. You guys must be that. And
you're just in it for sexual reasons. It's like, okay.
Where do you think that stems from? Like, is it a culture thing? Is it like...
I think it's a combination.
Ignorance.
I think people are misinformed. And I think there's people who don't want to know about the little details, or can't even fathom the idea of it being something healthy, probably because they struggle, like, accepting it in their personal life.
No, I think...
Or have been told differently, you know?
But have you ever considered the following? How many people secretly...
Oh, yeah.
...want to live...
The fantasy life.
The fantasy life that they've created a level of toxicity as a result of it. In other words...
Yeah.
They corroded every aspect of anything that can potentially be healthy.
Yeah, because now it's just, like, sexuality has become tainted for them.
The same people that have kink-shamed my lifestyle...
Are the people
that are cheating on their partners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to say any names, but I've had close friends. They're like, oh, there is absolutely no way that I would ever, like, accept... But
I don't know how you guys live
I don't know
like
how
that.
This and this and that. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, you know, I get a call and be like, hey, bro, if, you know, my wife calls, can you let her know that, like...
Just cover for me, bro.
Just cover for me. And I'm just like, what type of relationship are you having where you can't be transparent with your partner? And it goes in even further than that, because I've had women come at me and kink shame my lifestyle while at the same time being shady in their own personal private life. So
Didn't you have a situation recently like that?
Yeah, and it's sad. I mean, why do you serve yourself to kink shame me about the things that I enjoy when we all have situations that we're, you know, living in? And again, I respect everybody's lifestyle. I don't pretend to know what your relationship is about, but I've always tried my absolute best to advocate for transparency with your partner in any capacity.
Yeah.
Because it's healthy.
Yeah, above everything else. It's like, set aside BDSM. Just overall being able to communicate with your partner, being able to talk openly and discuss things honestly.
And I think we say this because it's because we are in this situation, and I can tell you right now that I also know a lot of people that are already so invested in the relationship and so brought up in different principles that it's extremely difficult for them to even ponder the idea that they can restart in a relationship to seek the things that make them happy.
I think it's probably because it just seems like a lot of work for people.
It's more than that. I feel like it also has to do with reprogramming.
Like, yeah. Like, it's much easier. I don't know. Maybe it seems like it's much easier for people to stay in a situation that they know is comfortable versus, like, actually seeking what they want.
Or that it portrays the image.
That they failed.
No. Yeah, that they failed. But it portrays the... They want to sustain an image that is acceptable by their family or by others. Mm-hmm. You have the perfect household, the perfect husband or wife. You know, you're financially stable. Everything is in line. Yeah. But what happens in the bedroom is dead.
And it seems much easier for them to just find someone to get that quick fix versus finding someone that's gonna actually make you happy in all aspects and areas of your life.
But that's the thing, like, I mean, where does that fall into? We can't kink shame those people as well, because they're seeking out their adventures in the best way that they can with the tools that they are provided.
I think it's just a different mentality. I don't want to kink shame it either. It's just me, like, I probably don't fully understand that level of, I don't know, I don't want to say sneakiness, but it's like, okay, if a person feels like it's much easier to do things behind their significant other's back than it is to be honest with them about the things that they want in life or the things that they want to explore, it's probably because their life is focusing on different areas.
Yeah. And it may be that we don't know what that balance holds. That balance, that it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth the sacrifice of having a miserable sexual life, but you have all these other factors. You have, you know, your kids are happy. Stability. And those things are important.
Career.
Correct. Like, and those things are important.
Yeah.
So I guess it's us individually, like, we make that determination based on our...
what we feel our need, like, the priority
right.
of our needs, I guess.
Yeah. Right. But in our case, obviously, considering that we are what's the word that I want to use here? We are in the lifestyle, and we are promoting... you know, the healthy approach to
BDSM
and kink and whatnot. We encourage everyone to seek out what makes them happy in a healthy way. I'm not talking about, and if you do that, that is entirely up to you.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself that, you know, that, you need to venture out in a just secretly having an affair and whatnot, and and that's the lifestyle that you want to live. That's on you. I mean, that's your choice. If nobody finds out, you know, nobody's gonna criticize that.
Yeah.
But who are you hurting?
I don't think they are able to see that it's hurting themselves. Like, it's already embedded from a young age of, like, this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna have this career. Like, you have this image that's, like, gonna be the perfect thing for you to, like, get done. But at the end of the day, maybe they don't see it as, like, some sort of sacrifice on their part or how detrimental it is to their happiness. They just see it as, like, yes, it is a grand scheme of, like, my own happiness because it's already been built from, like, years.
Right, but that scheme that's been built hasn't even been built by decisions that you made. It's almost like, here's the puzzle, it's made, it's for you.
Yeah, but I don't, like, think they have the knowledge that it's already been built for them. It's already, like, been years of, like, this is how it is, until maybe one day, eventually, they sit down and they're like, oh, hey, like, am I actually happy? But I don't know if all of them are able to reach that point or understand that.
Some people don't. I don't think some people do.
I think some people are okay with being content.
I grew up in an environment, and I'm not saying I'm in my particular household. I'm saying in other family, within our family, other families, where we would go and visit their family, and the wife would be in the kitchen cooking for everyone, and like serving the husband at the table, and then stand next to her husband as everybody else is eating.
Ew.
And then once everybody was done, once everyone was done eating and the table was cleared and she washed the dishes and she cleaned the table and everybody went outside or by the TV or hung out outside, whatnot, she would then serve herself and eat alone at the table. Oh, at the table.
Hell no.
Mm-mm.
There's no way.
No.
And that's, you know, that was, and that wasn't even, the sad thing about the whole thing is that it was probably not even something that she, obviously encouraged by her husband, but also encouraged by her own mother.
Like she was raised to be the perfect housewife.
Correct. And it might not even, and in certain circumstances, and I understand that if a woman wants that, just so we're clear on that.
Yeah, like if that's something, if that's a dynamic that you want to establish with your significant other and you've talked about it and you've agreed on it, that's great.
And it makes you happy. Then yes.
But if it's something that you feel like you're obligated to fill in that role and just be that, oh no. Like that I can't even fathom that. Like that seems like a complete like loss of self-identity.
Yeah, it's just
at that point.
Because you're embedding yourself in someone else's like ideas and motives and happiness at that point.
Yeah. It is sad. It's and again, it boils down to if you practice, I think the first part of it is being honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest to say, okay, what are my boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
What are my limitations? What are my curiosities? What are things that, you know, I cannot live without?
Yeah, the things that you're not willing to sacrifice, basically.
Correct. Now, for some people, it could be extreme. You know, I want to experience a threesome. I want to experience this. And that's fine if you're being open and transparent about it before you, you know, you dive into a relationship that's just going to be close-minded and it's going to be something that doesn't fit into in agreeance with both of you.
Yeah.
But
you have to know what your deal breakers are, basically.
But you can also play with those things.
Yeah.
For example, if, you know, if you want to have a threesome with another man and I'm not okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying figuratively speaking or whatnot.
Yeah,
but
you're just making up a scenario.
Right. Then we can potentially figure out a role play scenario where we can get as close to that as we can without actually involving third parties.
Yeah.
If mutually we agree that we are not inviting anybody else to the bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's literally porn shops where you can buy dummies and you can, I mean, dildos yeah. and vibrators and, you know, you double dildos.
It's one of those things where if you have a partner that is willing to be open and hear you out and you feel comfortable enough to share with them, you can get creative. Like
some couples can't even sit there and watch porn together.
That's really?
Yeah. Come on. You didn't know that. There's a lot of couples.
It's hard for me to picture.
I'm going
to
kink shame you right now. I'm just kidding.
No. Like speaking from my own, like, it makes sense. Yes, it makes sense. But it's also weird for me to think about because I feel like I'm constantly, like, sending you porn gifs. I'm like, damn, babe, look at this.
look at how many people embrace the idea of toxicity in relationships on social media. The whole La Toxica, the toxic one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, normal? It's normal for your girl to get upset at you because you've watched...
You liked a picture of another girl on Instagram.
I'm going to take it even further than that. I just watched Shakira's music video, Loba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, She-Wolf or what is it? Something like that. And it's a sexy video. Yeah. And my girl comes in and looks at me that I'm just fucking mesmerized by this, right? And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you looking? What do you want her? You want her? I'm just like, what? I've seen couples like that.
What if I do that to you?
That'll be fun.
What? No. Can you imagine? I can't.
Yeah. It's unhealthy. I believe it's unhealthy to kink shame. Why not? If you two are in the same household living two, and I'm just saying two because normally that's the factor there.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 10, I don't care. But if you're in a relationship with someone that you essentially are going to live the rest of your life with that person, shouldn't that person be your absolute best friend?
Yeah, someone you should. Yeah. It's different because I feel like there's people who are raised and told or raised to have the mentality of there are things that you need to hide from your significant other.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that's the reason why they can't do certain things together. It becomes a touchy subject because no one ever told them it was okay or they never thought that they could, you know, share those aspects of themselves with one another.
I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big thing. Like, hiding things from, like, your family or, like, from society because, like, oh, like, if you do this thing, like, it's wrong. No. So I've only heard it as, like, a personal thing, not, like, hey, like, don't ever share this with your partner. I mean, actually, not backtracking, yes, I've heard that, especially when it comes to bisexuality because... Like, I've heard the perspective of, like, oh, if you tell men this about you, then it's, like...
They're going to automatically assume that you...
that you're a promiscuous woman. I've had experience with that.
And then the same men who are, oh, I respect my wife. I would never do this with her. I would never, you know, I would never have anal sex with my wife.
Why not?
Because that's why...
That's tainting her.
Yeah, that's why I would rather find...
Someone I can treat like a whore, basically.
Correct. Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but that's really what it is.
Yeah, because sometimes they can't visualize their wife also being into those same things.
Right, because for some reason, you know, a woman at that level that they can seek out is less than their wife in value or whatnot.
Damn.
It's
messed up.
It's sad.
Yeah, because...
Sad and toxic.
It's selfish. It's selfish, if anything. Because if a man can't accept the fact that a woman is capable of doing... A woman that they don't know is capable of doing those things and potentially enjoying them, why can't that same perspective be placed on the wife? If the wife... is open enough to say, like, I'm into this. I want to be choked a little. I like being spanked in the bedroom. Like,
yeah, because they
want to... Why not pursue it? Why not give her that? Why not do that for yourself? Spice things up in your relationship.
Yeah, like, have some fun.
You know? Like...
And then there's the couples that... And I think we get a larger audience on that level because sometimes we get those DMs where people are like, hey, guys, like, we love the lifestyle that you guys have and you guys have helped us explore and understand more about ourselves and that it's okay to do these things. And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful when two people are willing to, like, you know, share parts of themselves and... be open enough to just explore new things together.
It's fascinating because it allows room. When you have the ability to be open with your partner, they have the ability to be open with you. And you respect those boundaries in the bedroom. There is so much growth and so much that you will learn from each other.
It kind of reminds me of that TikTok that you saw earlier. Where the girl said, she's like, if your man is cheating on you, instead of pointing the finger at him, ask him, is he okay?
It didn't go like that. If you, instead of asking,
Oh,
it wasn't whether he cheated or not. It was like, instead of asking if he cheated on you,
Ask him if
or he's try okay. to figure out if he cheated on you. Basically, that's what it was.
He's okay.
Ask him if he's okay. Ask him, and people don't ask. People don't.
Because they don't want to know. I think one of the things that we haven't even discussed when it comes to kink shaming, I feel, is the reason why people kink shame, right? One of the reasons, or I think the primary reason why people kink shame, is because there's certain fears.
Can you elaborate on that?
Like, there's... If a person comes at me and they start judging me or shaming me because I've been open with them about the things that I'm into, I've been open with them about my lifestyle and, you know, who I am, and they turn around and they say, oh, I could never be what you are. I can never... Like, I can't believe you're into those things. It's coming from a place of fear for being judged. I think that they're fearful of being judged because maybe at one point they questioned or were into those things and they were told, oh, what you're into is disgusting. So automatically that triggers a thought in your head to be like, anyone else who's into these things should not be into them. Because I was told I shouldn't be into them.
Yeah. I also feel that the people that have that level of mentality, or better yet, the people that seek out those adventures, they do so in such a toxic way. Mm-hmm. I've known people that have put themselves in environments with random strangers that had claimed that they're doms, or that had claimed like, okay, well, I'm going to give this lifestyle a try. And then they go out on their first try.
Without like trying to educate themselves.
Yeah. And they'll end up in a situation that is completely toxic, hurt, emotionally like damaged.
Yeah.
People traumatized.
Advantage of like that.
Yeah. Traumatized to a level of, sometimes to a point of no return. I don't believe in the level of no return, but close to that level where you
could. I mean, it varies from person to person. But...
Yeah. I mean,
but yeah, that's also a reason why people can kink shame from a bad experience.
Yeah. And that's, how
I'm
are
so
you?
I'm so sorry you got hurt, you know? Like,
yeah.
Coming from some, like, I'm saying this as a person that it advocates for the lifestyle. I am so sorry you got hurt.
Yeah. It's, and it, there is a healthy approach to the lifestyle. And the best way for you to attain that is educate yourself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of resources out there that are going to cover topics of, you know, if somebody comes at you and says, oh, I don't believe in safe words. Really? Okay, bye.
Like, red flag.
Yeah. You know, aftercare, and we are going to dive into, we are excited that we have finally got around to recording.
I know.
Yeah.
We had been talking about it for such a long time.
And if you really listen to the very first podcast, it was literally in the middle of the night, and I just pull out the recorder and just...
Yeah. Normally that's how it starts. It's like we have one good conversation and we're like, oh my gosh, like we could totally use this for the podcast. We should continue and keep the ball rolling, and then things will come up in life. And
but it is important. I believe it's important that you educate yourself, that you seek out the resources.
It's like with anything, honestly. Like you can apply the same rule when it comes to, you know, finding a career. You don't just jump into it. You have to educate yourself on what it is you want to do. If you want to get into trading and doing stocks, you don't just jump into it because you're going to lose money. It's a risk. You educate yourself so that you can find the best, like, possible situation to fit what it is that you're trying to do.
And then balance it out. If you are already in a relationship where you know that it's dead, that there is no fire in the bedroom. Nobody, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, you need to leave that. That's your decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to balance out what's important to you. How important is sexuality to you? And most people don't know this, or most people don't acknowledge that sex, healthy sex, is also really good for your
mind.
For your mind. Yeah.
For your mental state.
For your, yeah. For your mental state.
It's, yeah.
I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, if you have that level of transparency with someone that you love, you feel a different level of connection with them.
Yeah, it's intimacy.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
It's intimacy above everything else. Like, if you can't be intimate with the one person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, then what are you guys doing together?
You're going to make people... You're
gonna I'm asking a hard question here. But it's true. It's necessary. Like, if you're in a position in your life where your relationship is just complacent and you're okay with that, then go ahead and continue doing that. It works for you and there's nothing wrong with it, so why fix it?
And nobody's here to kink shame you. Not us. Certainly not us. Because there's important things in life, and for you... There's important things for you in life that you cherish, that you, you know, sacrifice for, and your sacrifice has paid off, and that's beautiful and wonderful, and we are not here to tell you otherwise.
No. Yeah. All I'm trying to say, and all I'm trying to get across, is that if you are not happy, like...
Seek for that happiness.
Yeah, you deserve happiness. To be happy, and if you are not happy in a situation, what is it that you can do to fix it, or be in a better place?
And sometimes it takes the courage of either partner to initiate a conversation and say, hey, listen, hey, this is going to sound weird, but I want you to listen to this podcast and tell me what you think. Yeah. And she can turn around, he can turn around, they can turn around and say, what the fuck is... What are they? They don't know shit about.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't, and they might be right. I mean, we're
not professionals.
We are here to learn from each other. We want to learn from you as much as you want to learn from us. We are not professional educators. We are here to express how we deal with our situation, with our lifestyle.
Yeah, for legal reasons, we are not giving any personal advice.
Or legal advice.
Or legal advice.
Yeah.
We're just advocating for a healthy lifestyle based on our own experiences and stories that we've heard from people. That's all.
That's true.
That's it.
And give it a try. I mean, if you feel that, you know, one of the things that we've done, we used to be, remember we went out there and we recorded a show for...
we went out to up North California and there was this podcast. It was called So What, It's Just Sex.
Yes.
And so if you've been with us long enough, you know about it, you've heard it.
Wonderful people.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was super fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of the tips that we have in our show, I am going to be extremely grateful to them because I've learned from them. Even in the short period of time that we engage and, you know, we did those, what is it, two? It was a two-part segment on one.
It was two sessions, but the one in person had to be cut up into two parts because it was so long.
Yes.
We did one virtual, and then we did one where we went up there and we
met with them.
Yeah, we got to chit chat and actually do a live podcast. Yeah. But it got so long they cut it into two parts. So technically three sessions.
Yeah, it was three sessions.
Well, I think we're going to call this one our first episode, our first official episode.
Yeah.
The takeaway from this is don't kink shame. Vanilla folks, listen. I understand that you're eager and you're curious to explore aspects of the lifestyle and you're ready to just jump in there and just pull out those whips and chains and whatnot and
you're excited
and the guys I know you're excited to post those dick pics and you know those type of I have to say it,
yeah,
but there is a way to go about it the right way.
You can slide into her DMs without sending your dick pic on the first shot.
Like, and that's not necessarily kink shaming, okay? Well, it might be.
Unless they're asking for it. Unless the woman has openly said, oh, my DMs are open, I accept all of these things.
And I enjoy some of these. Yeah. There's a lot of women that
there
love that.
There are women who and love getting those. There are people. I'm sure there's men too. Or
however they identified. Yes. But here's the thing. If you educate yourself, you're going to be better off. If you learn about the things that you are perfectly fine with, your hard limits, and we'll dive into that topic. We have not decided what our next topic will be, but we will encourage you, and we do encourage you.
We would love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, we haven't. I'm in the process of setting up and finishing up the website again to have it up and running. Woo-hoo. But our podcast can be streamed on all... podcast services.
Spotify.
I know it's Spotify.
Apple Podcasts.
Apple. And then we have Google.
Google Podcasts.
And then Pocket Cast.
And I think there's another one.
And we'll get the hang of this. And this is our first podcast.
We're learning as we go.
We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we hope that we didn't get anybody extremely angry.
Hopefully not.
You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is DDLG_lifestyle. Again, our I'm gonna let you say that one.
If you want to follow for more content, we'll be posting hopefully every week, and we also have a Twitter page. The handle is DDLG-lifestyle.
Underscore? Yes. Dash is the middle one.
Underscore?
Yeah, or you can just Google Twitter DDLG-lifestyle. We're literally the first one.
Yeah,
we're
on there. You'll find us.
Yeah, literally the first one's there, so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Momo. Thank you, Mittens.
Thank you for tuning in with us. Thank you, Mr. R.
And hey. next time we'll dive into a little bit more about our coffee, and for any coffee enthusiasts, we'd like to hear from you as well, okay?
Yeah, if you care for that segment.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.